Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Today, Kenneth Copeland brings you a special Father's Day message of encouragement, right from the heart of God. You have a father you can depend upon.
Hello, everybody. I'm Jeremy Pearsons, and today is Father's Day. And my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, wanted me to take a moment and extend a happy Father's Day to all the grandfathers and fathers across the U.S. and around the world. Happy Father's Day. You know, fathers, we honor you. Grandfathers, we honor you. Thank you so much for what you do in the homes, in the workplace, and in the way that you live life. And for many of you, you have lived a life that has been an example to the young ones and others growing up in your home. And I want to take a minute and say happy Father's Day to my grandfather, Kenneth Copeland. And I want to say how much, Papa, I love you and appreciate the godly example that you set for me and our cousins and brothers and sisters and this whole family. And I want you to know how much we love and appreciate you. Now, today in this broadcast, my grandfather, Brother Copeland, is talking about changing our way of thinking. When you do things God's way, you get God's results. He is the ultimate example of a father. He is the ultimate example, and we find him in the Word. And he is saying, do things the way I do them. Come up to my way of thinking. Come up to my way of doing things. And when you do that, you get his results. Now, for those of you who are fathers and grandfathers watching this broadcast today, I want you to take this as your opportunity to hear these things, allow them to get down in you, and then rise up and make a difference in the world we're living in. And you start by doing that in the home that you live in. And it goes from there, and it begins to make its way into everyday life. You are called and equipped to be a man of God. And whoever is watching this broadcast today, I want you to know that you can change your way of thinking. Come up to the way God has called us to, and it'll change the world around us. Watch this.
Let's go back over to the book of Isaiah. We are talking about changing your way of thinking, changing the entire body of thought that has entered into your mind and thinking and shaped the way you think and the way you see things. Did you know you don't see with your eyes, you see with your brain, which is a tool of your mind? Because you and I can look at the same thing and see two different things. Now, that's where we are. Changing our way of thinking. The old way of thinking is the curse way. You're thinking in line with the curse. Most of it says, I can't. I want to add one to what Brother Moore preached yesterday. He said, don't ever say it. Don't ever say I can't. Don't ever say I can't do it. I'm too weak. Don't ever say that. Why? Because the scripture says don't say that. He said, let the weak say I'm strong. Amen.
Yeah, but I tell it like it is. Well, that's the reason it stays like it is. Well, I just can't call things that be not as though they were. I mean, you know, if I can't see it, I can't say it. Oh, really? Now, the same guy will go out on his back porch. Here, doggy. Here, doggy. What are you doing? I'm calling the dog. You calling the dog? You're saying, here, dog. That dog ain't here. I know the dog ain't here. I'm calling the dog. I thought you told me you can't call things be not as though they were. Now, what you need to be saying is, cat here. Because the cat's here, the dog, but I want the dog. I know, but the dog ain't here. The cat is. Now you gotta say cat here, and maybe the dog will come. And when the dog gets here, you say, here, dog. Or maybe you'd rather walk up to the stove and say, give me some heat and I'll put in some wood. Give me some heat and then I will turn on the gas. Well, you're going to freeze, Bubba.
Yes.
It just don't work that way. But our old way of thinking tells us it does. And what the devil has lied us into is what Jesus called being condemned by the words of your mouth. He said, you're justified by your words, you're condemned by your words, and you'll stand judgment for every idle, inoperative, or every faithless word that comes out of your mouth. Now, that's going to leave you without much to say. Huh? So that old way of thinking has to be replaced. It has to be dug out of there. Because the way you think will form what you say. And what you say is what you have. Now, Isaiah 52:14. Then Isaiah 53 is Jesus on the cross. Isaiah 54, he's resurrected at the right hand of the Father. And now God is talking to his seed. Amen. He's talking to the body of Christ in the 54th chapter of Isaiah. And last night we got down to the 17th verse. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue. He's talking about things that are said. Every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Amen. Now, that's not just talking about in a court of law. Whole lot more here than involved in just a lawsuit, a court of law, or whatever. And this is everyday thing. When you find out he said, my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts higher than your thoughts. What is he talking about? He was talking about coming from over here, Jesus going to the cross, being raised from the dead, paying the price for Adam's sin and punished with his punishment, and then being raised from the dead, the Lord Advocate General of a new race of man, a recreated Holy Ghost empowered supernatural race of God men and women, that their skin color don't have nothing to do with it, neither Jew nor Greek, neither male nor female. But if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the blessing.
Hallelujah.
Oh, glory. I don't preach myself happy.
Glory to God.
Yeah. Amen. Take the thought and speak it. 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 And eventually it'll flush all that other out of there. And that's the way you begin to think all the time. Then it can come from the inside out. The blessing is in there. It's in it when you got born again. It's in there as a seed. And then it begins to grow. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And it begins to grow. And it will finally get to the place it'll start coming out of you. And you don't do stupid things and say silly things and be double-minded and all that kind of thing and choke it and stop it. That's what Gloria's been preaching about, that Jesus taught in the 4th chapter of Mark's gospel. There's 5 things that Satan uses to choke the word so that it becometh unfruitful. Stop the blessing. The word is the blessing. I have chosen to feed my body nutritious food. I had to. I used to weigh 100 pounds more than I do now. And I had to make that decision. That if the Word of God says certain things are not fit to eat, I'm not going to eat them. I've just made the decision. I'm not going to do that. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's not mine to choose. This thing is a vessel of the gospel in the earth. I've got to keep it healthy.
Hey.
I'm not on prescription drugs. Thank God.
Amen.
Thank God. Why? Because I'm well. That's why.
Amen. Yes.
But I don't depend on food to do anything other than nourish my body. I don't depend on my vitamin supplements. I don't depend on my exercise. I exercise, but I don't depend on the exercise. I depend on the Word.
Amen.
The Word is my strength. The Word is my health. The Word is my life, hallelujah.
Yes.
And it flows into my flesh, and it flows into my mind, and renews my mind to think like he thinks, and now 2 of us agree, and he and I can walk together.
Amen.
Now, let's talk here for a moment about my ways Let's look at that scripture, Isaiah 55. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now, 1 Corinthians 2:16, however, comes over speaking to the body of Christ and says, who, it's quoting scripture now from the Old Testament, said, who knows the mind of the Lord that they may instruct him? That's quoting the Old Covenant. Because fallen man in his fallen state was not thinking the way God thinks, and his ways were not God's ways. They were the ways of that Babylonian system. But the scripture says, 1 Corinthians 2:16, we have the mind of Christ. Aha! We do have it. Our thoughts are his thoughts. We are capable of his thoughts. But if we have been infected and infested with that other system, then you're going to have to change your way of thinking. You're going to have to renew your mind. And the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, will tell you very plainly, the renewing of the mind will cause you and enable you to be able to prove the perfect will of God in your
Amen.
Life.
Amen.
Prove it. How do you prove it? With signs following.
Yes.
Praise
yes.
God.
Yes.
Amen. So it is there, it is available, and it has to be activated by faith, and the word has to become your way of thinking.
Amen.
I'll go over it again. You make the decision. God's word is final authority in my life. Whatever he says is right. Whatever anybody else says is wrong is wrong. Whatever God says is wrong is wrong. What God says is right is right. If he says stay out of debt, then I'm going to stay out of debt. Yeah, but... Well, now there goes your yeah, but what if again? No, don't start that. I just can't figure out how to do that. Well, it ain't your business to figure it out. It's your business to change the way you think.
Amen.
When you make the commitment to it, he'll begin to teach you, and then you will see how to do certain things. How do I know that? Well, by what God commanded Joshua. Brother Moore took this up yesterday. Outstanding teaching on it. But now remember what God said. If you will meditate in my word day and night. How do you meditate in something? You take a verse of scripture. You can't meditate whole chapters at once. You take verses of scripture. And particularly if it covers your situation. You take verses of scripture and you begin to think about that. And think about that. Now you make the decision. This is what God said, so this is right. Anything I think contrary to this is wrong. This is final authority in my life. By his stripes ye were healed. I'm hurting so bad. I mean, even my hair hurts. But the scripture says, by his stripes ye were healed. Now I begin to meditate that. I begin to think about that. I make the decision. Now that's correct. That's first place in my life. I don't make any difference how I feel. That's correct. Now I exercise my faith in that. But now that I'm healed, how does that change this situation? Does it make a difference whether the pain's still there or not?
That's right.
Probably still is. But I'm meditating, see? I take that thought and say it. Now, he said, meditate in my word day and night. Day and night do this. Get it on your mind. The fourth chapter of the book of Proverbs says, keep it in front of your eyes. Keep the word in your heart. Incline your ear unto my sayings. What does that mean? Get rid of yeah, but what if. If God said it, that's it. I can incline my ear to his saying. It doesn't make any difference whether I can figure it out or not. He'll show me. He's already got it figured. So he's going to train me and teach me. When I first saw somebody ski down that mountain, man, and everything is flowing, I thought, how do they do that? I wanted to do that. I tried to do that. I didn't flow down the mountain. I rolled down the mountain. I got up one I didn't know my children and the whole family was watching me, man. This is about the second time I'd ever been skinned. I took my pole. I threw the pole this as far as I could, took the skis off, and walked back up the hill. And God said, I don't know that I'll ever do this again. And they're killing this whole bunch is up there just laughing at me. Well, but they'd come down there. I said, how do they do that? How do they do that? When I'd get up there and start down, it just didn't work like that. What did I have to do? I had to get me instructor to tell me how he did that and practice and practice and practice and practice and keep coming back and keep coming back until I changed my way of thinking. I never did get as good as he, but he skis all the time. I only skied a couple of times a year. But I got good enough to enjoy it. I got good enough to where I could swish, swish enough to where I thought I looked good. Amen. I didn't care what I looked like to you. Amen. I was having a good time, man. Just having more fun. Well, I couldn't figure out how to fly an airplane. I could pretty well figure out how to get it off the ground, but I couldn't figure out how to find the ground without banging into it. And banging into the ground is not good. You understand? That is really bad. I mean, that's Jesse Duplantis got that first airplane he had. And they'd get on the trip, and so he'd move up in front. He'd tell the co-pilot to go back in the back seat. And Jesse'd get up there in the right seat. Well, the guy that was flying for him would taught him how to use the radios and taught him how to communicate, you know, and wiggled the wheel around a little bit and showed him what made airplanes fly and all that. And he'd come in with that big smile he got. And he said, Brother Copeland. I said, what, Jesse? He said, you know, I've been flying that airplane with Jack. I've been sitting up there in the front, man. And he said, I can almost land that airplane. I said, Jesse, almost landing is a crash. I have to admit, we give Jesse an awfully hard way to go all the time. But I really couldn't. And in my mind, I couldn't figure out how you ever get this thing back on the ground. I mean, you ain't got any brakes up there. You can't stop and just let it down. Amen. But I never worried about it. I never gave it any thought. I figured that instructor's going to know, and I need to learn from him. I'd made a commitment to fly. And so, what did I have to do? I had to do what he told me to do because he already knew how. You need to learn to do what God tells you to do because he already knows how. He is your instructor. The Holy Ghost was given to you to lead and guide you into all the truth, to instruct you, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Hallelujah.
About 1990, I was sentenced to 2.5 years. I had to do 2.5 years for the crime that I committed. And during that time, my mother, she had already been born again, prayed for me and everything, and went to a minimum security facility. And we were allowed to have materials. And that's how I come to know Brother Copeland. She actually had a 4-tape series, which was called the Blessings of Daniel. And she sent me 2 out of her 4-tape series. And those 2 tapes is where I got to know Brother Copeland, and I listened to those 2 tapes, Those were the only 2 tapes that I had, and it changed my life. I began to just receive it and think on it and think on it and think on it, and the seed took root.
After being released from prison, Gordon met and married Doris, and together they moved to Texas. Although they had changed the course of their lives, tragedy struck. What the devil intended for bad, God turned it for good.
Saturday evening, anxious thing just to get to the house, and the thing is on me as far as trying to beat the train. I've done it a few times, and you figure you do it a few times, you know, you're going to try it again. And she actually said to me, we was driving, she was like, gee, isn't that against the law? Oh, I can't stop now, I'm thinking. So I said, let me just go ahead and just try to get across there, and again, just mistimed it, and the train just hit the back of the car. So it's just a matter of, you know, you're not supposed to do it anyway, but trying to beat it, trying to make it across that track instead of just waiting and being patient, just waiting for the thing to go by.
The impact caused Doris to hit her head, causing severe damage that placed her in a coma. Gordon believed and prayed that she would have a complete recovery, and after 18 days, Doris woke up.
What happened from the accident was that I sustained a TBI, which is a traumatic brain injury. And so there were a lot of things that I had to relearn. Once I woke up from the coma, I had to relearn how to even stand without assistance. I had to relearn basically everything. So rehab, it was tough, but and even though my brain wasn't to the point where I could go and say, okay, I need to sit down and get in the Word here. Even though I wasn't there, God helped me a lot. He did so many miracles every single day. I was released without any walking assistance. I had no cane, no walker, no nothing, and they had never seen that before. So there were several things that the Lord did that just really, it was just an awesome witness to His goodness.
I never had that big brother. I was the oldest of the brothers. And the relationship that I built up with him was Jesus, my big brother. And that's what got me through it. It was like, he's my big brother. He's right there with me. Like, I'm with you, brother. I'm with you. And I was just able to go ahead and minister to her and just know that we was going to get through it. I know he was going to raise her up because I just had an assurance and a knowing that my big brother had that handled for me.
Gordon and Doris have experienced the goodness of God in a way that would forever change their lives. But God had more in store for them. After trying for a baby for over 12 years, God blessed them with a son.
We have a little boy. His name is Jaden. He's 18 months old. And he is just a tremendous blessing. I mean, I can't even tell you.
It's just a joy when I see him and see him run towards me or just grab him and throw him up in the air. See, all these things I never experienced. So now these things I can go ahead and I can experience with him. And it's like, wow.
Despite trials and tribulations, the Fries have overcome and are winners in Christ Jesus.
I would encourage people to be of good cheer. We see it through the scriptures time and time again. Paul says, rejoice, rejoice. And again, he says, I say rejoice when you're facing diverse trials and temptations. But that goes back to the place of knowing and having that relationship with him, knowing that he's with you. You know, it's like it's a fixed fight. You know, and you go into a fixed fight, you know, you already know you won. You may try to, you know, you have to go in there and do a little bit, but eventually you come out. You already go into that fight knowing that you won. Jesus already won the fight for us.
Did you hear what Gordon said? He said, Jesus already won the fight for us. Man, that's revelation. That is a thought that will change the way you may be thinking right now. Now, when he was in prison, notice this. He got the word inside of him, and maybe it was just two tapes, and maybe that's all he could get his hands on. But I'm telling you, he got that, and he got it down on the inside until it started to change his way of thinking. That's got to be what happens in us. We've got to change our way of thinking. When I preach some of these things, I often say to the congregation, who do you think you are? Because it's a big deal about how you think about you. Does how you think line up with the Word of God? And Gordon had to line his way of thinking up with the Word of God. And you heard their testimony and you saw what God has done in their lives. And he continues to bless that family. They got a beautiful baby boy. And the Lord is at work in their family. And he's at work in your life too. Let me come in agreement with you. I want to pray right now over all the fathers and grandfathers watching this today. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for everyone watching this broadcast, especially those men who you've called as fathers and grandfathers. I thank you, Lord, that you are teaching and training them. You are their teacher on how to be a father. I'm so grateful that we have such an example in you of what a father is and what a father looks like and sounds like. So as we look to you, we look to them and your example in them. And I thank you, Father, for the things that you're doing in them, raising up leaders that are changing the world we live in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to know that you are an overcomer in Christ Jesus. That blessing is on the inside of you right now. And in today's message, the key scripture that my grandfather used was out of Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Don't make that an excuse, though. That was not God saying, so, hey, good luck with all of this because you can't think and act like me. He was calling us up to his way of thinking. his way of acting. Make the decision today that God's word is the final authority in your life. The first word, the last word, and every word in between. That's when you begin to think and act like God himself. Now, today, my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria, have a gift for you. They want to share with you this message that you just heard in its entirety. And this is a message called Change Your Way of Thinking by Kenneth Copeland. And you can go to kcm.org and request your DVD of this message today. Go get that. We want to get this in your hands. We love our partners. My grandparents, they pray for you guys all the time. Their partners are always on their mind. So we want to do what it takes to get this in your hand. Get in touch with us, kcm.org, whatever you've got to do to get a hold of this. We want to make sure you get it. Happy Father's Day, everybody. I am so grateful for you. If I know you, if I don't, if you're a dad, I appreciate you. And I appreciate my dad, George Pearsons. What a man of God. That is a man I have watched for just about as long as I can remember. And he is a man that has taught me to believe the Word of God. And he and I share a lot of experiences. We share a lot of common interests, but nothing as important and crucial as our relationship around the Word. He's taught me to believe. He's taught me to be a man of faith as I've seen him be a man of faith. He's taught me to be an honorable man. And he's taught me how to treat a wife and how to just be a man of God. And I thank him for that. Dad, I love you and I appreciate you. This is Jeremy Pearsons. I want to let you know that God loves you. We love you. And like Kenneth and Gloria always say, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for watching The Believer's Voice of Victory. If you'd like to purchase a copy of this broadcast on CD or DVD, go to our website or call or write to us today. Remember to request your gift from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Change Your Way of Thinking, a DVD by Kenneth. Log on to our website at kcm.org. Call our toll-free number at 800-575-4455 or write to us. One per household, please.
Really just being supportive no matter what. Someone that a kid can always turn to. The first person you want to go tell when something good happens, and the first person you want to go talk to when something bad happens.
Showing them that how much I love their mother and being in the home, letting them know that that dad was going to be there no matter what, and that our principle is to grow up with a father and a mother in the home. And then most importantly is to have Jesus in their life.
Putting things in priority, God, family, and everything else after that. And finding the time and making the time for your family, for your kids, making memories.
I never, ever, ever questioned that he loved me because he showed me. So it's the actions that you have. That's the most important thing. It's not the words as much as the actions, because I think love is a verb. It's an action word. And if you don't demonstrate that love, what is it?